ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So this morning's reading is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 5, text number 25, chapter entitled The Demigods Appeal to the Lord. Tatra Adrista Sarupaya Sruta Purvaya Vai Prabhu Stutim Abhruta Devi Bhir Girbes Tva Avanhitan Indraya Tatra Drista Sarupaya Shruta Purvaya Vai Prabhu Stutim Abhruta Devi Bhir Girbeshtva Avanhitan Indriya Tatra. There, at the Lord's abode known as Swetadvip, Adrista Swarupaya, onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was not seen even by Lord Brahma. Shruta Purvaya, but who was heard about from the Vedas. Why? Indeed, Prabhu, Lord Brahma, Stutim, praise derived from the Vedic literature. Abhruta, performed. Devabhi, by prayers mentioned in the Vedic literature or offered by persons strictly following the Vedic principles. Girbhi, by such sound vibrations or songs. To then, Avahita Indriya, fix in mind without deviation. Parpat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. There, at Swetadvip, Lord Brahma offered praise to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he had never seen the Supreme Lord, simply because Lord Brahma had heard about the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Vedic literatures. With a fixed mind, he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by the Vedic literature. Purport. It is said that when Brahma and the other demigods go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Swetadvip, they cannot directly see Him, but their prayers are heard by the Lord, and the needful action is taken. This we have seen in many instances. The word Sruta Purvaya is significant. We get experience by directly seeing or by hearing. It is not possible to see someone directly. We can hear about him from the authentic sources. Sometimes people ask whether we can show them God. This is ludicrous. It is not necessary for one to see God before he can accept God. Our sensory perception is always incomplete. Therefore, even if we see God, we may not be able to understand Him. When Krishna was on earth, many, many people saw Him, but could not understand Him, could not understand that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Avajanta ma mudha manusam tanu astritam. Even though the rascals and fools saw Krishna personally, they could not understand that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even upon seeing God personally, one who is unfortunate cannot understand Him. Therefore, we have to hear about God, Krishna, from the authentic Vedic literature and from persons who understand the Vedic version properly. Even though Brahma had not seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead before, he was confident that the Lord was there in Svetadvip. Thus he took the opportunity to go there and offer prayers to the Lord. These prayers were not ordinary concocted prayers. Prayers must be approved by Vedic literature, as indicated in this verse, by the words Devabhi Girbhi. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we do not allow any songs that has not been approved or sung by a bona fide devotees. We cannot allow cinema songs to be sung in the temple. We generally sing two songs. One is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. This is bona fide. It is always mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is accepted by the acharyas. The other, of course, is the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We may also sing the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinod Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, but these two songs, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, are sufficient to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we cannot see Him. Seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating Him from the authentic literatures or the authentic statements by authorized persons. Om Ajnana Trimandandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshusunmalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyasya Kripasindhubhyasya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it is very interesting in this verse is mentioning that Lord Brahma, headed by many demigods, approaches the Supreme Lord on the shores of Svetadvip. And then, of course, as the verse mentions, and Prabhupada also further explains, that although they are on the shore of the Svetadvip, but they cannot see the Lord on the milk ocean lying on this Anantashesha, accompanied along with Lakshmi. But because Lord Brahma had full faith in the Lord, he began to offer prayers. And as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that when Lord Brahma was making prayers to the Supreme Lord heard the prayers and took the necessary action. Of course, generally when we pray to the Lord for something which we require or we need. In this case, the demigods along with Lord Brahma went to appeal to the Lord to be freed from the curse of Durvasa. Now, of course, in our modern world, modern understanding, especially the world today, is fully based on scientific understanding and scientific presentation. So when we present the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is, as Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, this is an authorized Vedic literature. And the version which is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is actually spoken by the Lord and His devotees. So therefore it is perfect knowledge. But the scientists, if we mention that out there in the universe, there is a planet which is called Svetadvip, and then that Svetadvip has got an ocean of milk. And in that milk ocean, there is a Supreme Lord lying on very comfortably on the Ananta Shesh. Now people would think, how can you have an ocean of milk? Now of course in this world we experience that we have seen milk, sometimes in a small quantity, sometimes in large quantity. Nonetheless, milk, if it's kept unattended, after a few hours it curdles up. And then it begins to rot and smell. And at that point, that milk is of no use. Now here it is mentioned that the Lord is in Shweta Dweep, in the milk ocean. Now, how is it possible? So the scientists would disregard this information, saying this is someone's fictitious imagination. So they don't accept. And the masses follow their so-called scientists who are considered gods to them, because they have full faith in the scientist, that the scientist with their intelligence and scientific research, they can solve all problems of mankind. But we have seen in the last 100 years, the scientists have made tremendous technological advancement and understanding through their research, but they have not solved the basic problem. There are two basic problems. One is the immediate problem, is of hunger. They cannot solve the problem of hunger. So some people, they have 2, 3, 4, even 5 meals a day. And some people have no meals a day. So they are not solving that. And the more important one, they have not solved the problem of death. And Prabhupada says, this one problem they cannot solve by the scientific knowledge. So anyway, the point here is that as Prabhupada cites from the Bhagavad Gita, Avantijamamudha, that these are foolish people of low intelligence. They cannot understand God. Even if they see God, they cannot understand. Now all of us, we are very much blessed that we are in the holy dharma of Sri Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna was walking in these grounds of Vrindavan. And even today, he is in his Braj. Because it is mentioned in the Vedic scriptures that the Lord doesn't leave Braj. But has anybody seen Krishna walking around, herding the cows on the banks of the Jamuna? No. Okay, that is maybe not possible because we may not be pure enough. But then we have the second option. We are here in the beautiful Krishna Balaram Mandir. We see the forms of Krishna Balaram. We see form of Radha Krishna and Radha Samsundar with their associate Lalita and Vishakha. And then we see Gaunitai. And when you see these forms of the Lord, and the scriptures mention that these are not just forms of the Lord, they are known different from the Lord. But do we understand them? We don't understand. But little intelligence we have, therefore we show some awe and reverence and make some prayers. But we don't understand. So he has mentioned here that somehow if we simply make our prayers with sincerity from the heart and accept that the Supreme Lord is present, although we cannot see Him with our material eyes, He is present. He is present outside and He is present within. He is present within as Paramatma. Although we cannot experience the Lord in our heart, and most of the time we cannot even experience ourselves in this body, because we are under illusion this body is us. And therefore, from morning till night, from the day we are born till the day we die, what are we doing? We are concerned for the body, not the soul. Because the soul doesn't, we have no appreciation of who we are. Of course, Srila Prabhupada mentions that once we become inquisitive and start seeking for answers, then the Lord in the heart will guide us. He'll guide us to personalities who know the answers to your questions, to your queries. He will bring you to the devotees of the Supreme Lord who have knowledge of the Supreme Lord. He will bring you to the transcendental literature which will reveal knowledge to you further to satisfy your inquiries. And through that you will actually understand the Supreme Lord. Not necessarily you will see Him, but you will understand Him. And because you will understand Him, then you will follow the instructions given to us by Him, how to become perfect and become free from this illusion. And then, of course, ultimately, if we are sincerely following the path of bhakti, then, as Prabhupada mentions, we can go back home, back to Godhead. Now, as I said, the scientists would ignore this point that there is an ocean of milk out there. But some years back, some scientists, they were using modern technology, radio telescope, and they were looking far into the depth of the universe. And they actually found a planet which has ocean of alcohol. Now, that they can relate to. But the milk, they cannot relate to. But the Shweta Dweep is not an ordinary place. I would assume myself that the ocean of alcohol which they have found in the further depths of the universe is not quite anywhere near the Vaikuntha Loka. It is probably in some hellish regions. And therefore they can actually kind of perceive it through their technology that there is some planet there which has got oceans full of alcohol. But milk, they will not. So anyway, the point is that if they persevere to understand this knowledge with the proper inquiry and accept the authority of the Shastra, the Vedic literature, then Krishna will reveal this knowledge to them. Because this knowledge is not ordinary knowledge. Although all of us, we go to schooling, kindergarten, primary, secondary, and after that we graduate to university and do some postgraduate degrees, get a PhD in many different subjects. This is all knowledge and education. But this knowledge will not bring you to the real understanding of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, you have to go to the Vedic literature, the knowledge revealed by the Supreme Lord Himself. And these Vedic literatures, when you submissively surrender to the literature and the knowledge given in these literatures, then automatically you will appreciate the Supreme Lord and His greatness. You know, even now, although as devotees of Krishna, we get many insights to the pastimes of Lord Krishna right here in Braj, and one of them is lifting the Govardhan Hill. But devotees, since they have faith that yes, Krishna has lifted the Govardhan Hill, therefore will accept that pastime and say that of course this pastime took place, and by lifting the Govardhan Hill, Krishna protected the residents of Braj from the wrath of Indra. Indra was upset that his offering was taken away and given to Govardhan instead. So when we see that Govardhan Hill itself and go to the Govardhan and hear the pastimes, we can appreciate that. But even deep down in our hearts and our minds, we think, is this a reality? Did this take place? We are not convinced. But as you follow the path of bhakti, and as Prabhupada is saying, that there is only two mantras which we need, or two prayers, the Panchatattva prayer and the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And this is sufficient for us to know which will take us back to the spiritual world. And going back to the spiritual world means that you are now in full knowledge. Unless until you are in full knowledge, you cannot go back to Godhead. So here Prabhupada is saying, simply with faith, if you can chant these two mantras, which are bona fide mantras given by the Supreme Lord Himself, then of course, slowly and gradually, purification of the heart will take place and the revelation will come in your heart and conviction will become more and more stronger. Your faith will become stronger in the Supreme Lord. And then, when you're following the principles of bhakti, it becomes very much easy. And every day becomes a kind of a pleasurable experience. And more you take to the shelter of the holy names, the more and more you'll be feeling the pleasures of the holy name. Of course, most of us, we've been chanting for last umpteen years, but we do not experience pleasure. We experience the pains and pleasure of the material world, but not the transcendental ecstasies which are mentioned in the scriptures. That is because we are still not fully convinced in our chanting. We are chanting on an intellectual level. But you have to go down onto the heart level, where you chant with love and devotion and with faith, not with intellectual understanding. Yes, this is mentioned in the scriptures, this is the right thing to do, and therefore we will do. And sometimes our chanting may not be perfect, because we may be chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with the tongue, but our hearing is not perfect. Because the principle of bhakti mentioned is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So if our chanting is perfect but our hearing is not perfect, then there is a problem. Because remembrance will not come if the chanting and hearing is not perfect. Or if our hearing is perfect but chanting is not perfect, then also you will not have desired result. So the chanting and hearing must be perfect, and therefore remembrance will be perfect. Now, when we are chanting Hare Krishna, at least those who are dedicated devotees who have taken vows to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and we chant regularly, do we remember the Supreme Lord while we are chanting? Most of the time you will find, and this is general experience, that the mouth is going Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and the ears are hearing the Maha Mantra, but the mind is wandering here, there, everywhere, and thinking about many things but Krishna. So these, the art of chanting Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam is by practice, and more you practice and more you focus, then the remembrance will automatically come, because you have to associate the chanting with Krishna. This is why I give you an example. Probably India is also the same as in the West. When someone says Cadbury's, what do you think? Anyone? Cadbury's. Cadbury. There you go. Automatically, when you say Cadbury, means chocolate. Why? What has Cadbury got to do with chocolate? Cadbury is the maker, the founder of the company, and therefore the product he made was named after him. But he has nothing to do except that his company made the product, what we call chocolate. But as soon as you say Cadbury, you say chocolate. Immediately you connect Cadbury's with chocolate. Now, when you say Hare Krishna, do we connect Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare with Krishna? Do we think Krishna? Does the beautiful form of Radha Samasundar, Krishna Balaram, Sisi Gonitai manifest in your mind? Sometimes, but mostly not. Again, another example I generally cite, that Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the taste of water. Now, you know, we get thirsty every day, and we quench our thirst with water. And when you are drinking that water, and it's quenching your thirst and relieving you from the thirst, do you think about Krishna? But Krishna is saying, I am the taste of water. So intellectually we know, from reading Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. But when we drink the water, we do not relate the cooling and soothing taste of the water with Krishna. Generally, when we ask, what is the taste of water? It's tasteless. If you drink lemonade, yes, it's tangy. If you drink sugarcane juice, it's sweet. Water is tasteless. Now, do you think Krishna is tasteless? That is because we have not tasted Krishna. Tasting Krishna is not like lemonade or sugarcane juice. Just lemonade and sugarcane juice are material, mundane things. And that can be perceived with our tongue, because our tongue is mundane and material. But the holy name or Krishna is spiritual in nature. And therefore when Krishna says, I am the taste of water, when we actually appreciate Krishna in a spiritual sense, then you will taste Krishna. You will relish him. Every time you quench the thirst, you will think, oh, Krishna. You have to relate. Just like in the mundane world, we have been exposed by the advertising firm, Cadbury's, chocolate, milk chocolate. And then you, from very childhood, you ask a five-year-old kid who has no knowledge and say, Cadbury's? Yes, I like Cadbury's. Or do you like Mr. Cadbury's? No, I like chocolate. Because he doesn't care for Mr. Cadbury's, he cares for the chocolate. Because he can relate to that. Now, similarly, we have to train our minds to relate with Krishna. And more we relate to Krishna, then more and more we will actually be able to experience the presence of Krishna. Because the presence of Krishna is everywhere. Spiritual energy is everywhere. He's omnipresent. But we cannot perceive him. Why? Because our senses are still very dull. Yesterday we were studying the fourth canto. And in that fourth canto, the chapter we were studying in Delhi was the prayers of Prachetas. And in that one, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who are considered very high personalities, even they do not understand the Supreme Lord in his complete form. Now, if Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot understand the Supreme Lord, then what to speak of you and me? Because we are nowhere near the quality of Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva. But Prabhupada mentions there that even though Brahma and Shiva are not in complete understanding, and the Prachetas were saying in their prayers that we are even lower than that in our intelligence, in our understanding, and our prayers are incomplete. But please accept our prayer. And Prabhupada further confirms in that purport that even though their prayers were incomplete or imperfect, the Lord did not look at the imperfection of the prayer. He saw the sincerity and intent of the Prachetas, and therefore he accepted that. So even though for us, we may not be perfect, but if we have an understanding of the prayers which we offer to the Lord, and even though they may not be complete or perfect, still the Lord will see perfection in it. Because the Lord is all perfect, and because he is all perfect, he only sees perfection. Whereas you and I, even if we see something completely perfect, we'll find some imperfection. And that example Srila Prabhupada gives, on a full moon day, the moon is in full glory and it's perfect. But we'll still find some potholes on the moon, an imperfection on the moon. Because that is our nature. The Lord is not imperfect. The Lord is perfect, and therefore he sees perfection in everything. So even in our humble prayers, which may not be complete, he accepts. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that whatever you have, I will preserve. And whatever you lack, I will carry. So even though our prayers may be imperfect, Krishna will look the perfection part of that prayer, and the rest which is lacking, he will complete it and make it perfect. And therefore you will be the recipient of the full benefit of the prayers we chant. Therefore, Prabhupada says in this purport here that all we need to do is adhere to the two prayers. The Panchatattva prayer and the Hare Krishna mantra. But even then, instead of simply chanting Hare Krishna with a simple tone, we try to make Hare Krishna into a fancy tune. And we try to chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, as Srila Prabhupada says, to the cinema music. And you will see many times, those who are blessed with musical talents, they will sit there with their harmonium and conjure up a nice tune from the cinema world, and then put the Hare Krishna lyrics into it, and they will chanting the Hare Krishna to the cinema music. And therefore, even though the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is 100% perfect, because it is chanted in the tune of the mundane music, it will not have the desired effect. Like when Prabhupada is giving the translation of the Hare Krishna mantra, is saying, if the chanting is done by a known devotee, then it is like the milk touched by the lips of a serpent, causing poisonous effect. So similarly, when you start chanting the holy name, relating to a nice musical tune which is pleasant to the ears, but it is mundane, and then your lyrics are also in that tune. So what happens? All you get is entertainment, but the purification of the heart doesn't take place. So Prabhupada says, we have to learn from the acharyas. Unfortunately, we don't have access to the previous acharyas when they were chanting kirtan, because maybe that time they didn't have any instrument of recording. But we are fortunate that Srila Prabhupada, the perfect example of a perfect devotee, he is chanting, and he has left us with wonderful melodies of chanting. We simply have to follow that. Nothing extra. Because Prabhupada said, don't add anything. At the same time, don't subtract anything. What I have given you is perfect and complete. So if we simply follow that, then all perfection will come. Of course, some people may say, oh, you are too fanatic about this. Well, I can be addressed as fanatic, I don't mind. But I am simply repeating what is said in this purport. Prabhupada says very clearly, don't concoct. Simply stick to the versions given by the previous acharyas, the bona fide acharyas. And if you follow that, then all perfection will come without any problems. But unfortunately, we are not satisfied with this simple process. Because from the very young age, we have been taught that if something is simple, it is not valuable. So if something is complicated, it is very valuable. So in the process of bhakti also, very simple process is there, Prabhupada says. Get up early in the morning, take a bath, put on fresh clothes, come and worship the Supreme Lord, and chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's all. Nothing else. Very simple. But we are not happy with the simple process. We think there must be something not right with this process. This is too simple. But the Lord is so kind that He has made the process very simple for us. Because if He had made it complicated, we wouldn't be able to do it. Now, for example, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that there are many different forms of yoga practice. And one of them is Ashtanga Yoga. Now, do you think any one of us can become perfect in Ashtanga Yoga? I've seen sometimes when I visit the holy places like Haridwar or Rishikesh, I find these yogis, you know, practically bone and skin, but their legs and arms are moving in all forms of body, twisting around, and they can do all kinds of things. But you ask them that you have been practicing this yoga and your body is very flexible. You can put your leg completely around your neck and the other way and do all kinds of stuff. But do you realize the Supreme Lord? They have no understanding of the Supreme Lord. But the point I'm trying to make here is the Ashtanga Yoga practice is very, very complicated and very, very difficult for an average person to do. But for an average person to sit down very peacefully and then do the process of bhakti of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Very simple. Sit down and with the mouth and the tongue you go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is not difficult. But at best of times, we are sitting there with our japa mala and intent is right, chanting the holy name, and after one round, two round, the brain starts to switch off, and the mind says, actually you had a late night, so you are tired, go to sleep. So, we say, okay, I will justify, I will go to sleep now. So you give in, and then what happens? There's no chanting. So mind is always going to be troublesome. So we have to control the mind And as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada says, you hit the mind with your sandal. Now, it doesn't literally mean that you take off your shoe and start hitting your head, because how do you know your mind is up there? Your brain is up there, but the mind is not up there. Because the mind is where? Anyone can tell where your mind is? Subtle. No, mind is, nature is subtle, but where is it? Someone said heart. Why? Because in the scriptures, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned that the soul is accompanied by mind, intelligence and ego. So the sitting place of the mind is where the soul is, and the soul is in the region of the heart. Of course, again, I don't say that you take your sandal, instead of hitting on your head, you start hitting on your chest where your heart is. No. That is a metaphor. That you control. That is a way of controlling the mind. And how do you control the mind? Is you have to keep telling the mind, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. Discipline, discipline, discipline. And when you reach that discipline point, then the mind will become subservient. And then when you're sitting there peacefully, you can chant. And the example of which is given of the Namacharya, Haridas Thakur, he was sitting there chanting very peacefully. And what happened? The prostitute came, tried to entice Haridas Thakur, and Haridas says, no problem, you please sit down. Let me finish first my duty. After I finish my duty, I will attend to your needs. And he continues to chant peacefully. He's not disturbed by the beautiful young lady sitting next to him. His mind is where? Absorbed in chanting the holy name. Now, if you and I had to do that, it would be difficult, I'm telling you. Even the best of the best yogis amongst us will have that difficulty. But it is not impossible. And I give this example that generally those people who keep a dog as a pet, you want to control the dog. Now, untrained dog is like the mind. It wants to go all over the place. But a properly trained dog is disciplined. And I can say this for a fact, because before I joined the ashram, I used to have an Alsatian dog. And my dog was very much trained, because I took him to a training school. And someone said, you are a fool. But I said, maybe I was a fool, but I want my dog to be disciplined. And the training school which my dog was taken to was taught so well that it would obey my command. And I would say, sit. He would sit there. And he would not move an inch. And when it's feeding time, there's a ball of food there in front of him, just like 2 yards away from him. With his eyes, he can see the food. And the smell, he can see the food. And the stomach is grumbling, I want, I want. But the dog has been told, sit. Now he's not tied to a chain or anything. He's free to do what he likes. But because he's been disciplined and trained, the dog will not move. But his mouth is all salivating at the thought of the food. But he will not go and eat it. But he's hungry. And I just step on my lap and say, go get it, boy. And he will whoop. And within minutes he will devour everything. But he would not go without my command. So, if it's possible to train an animal, the mind is likened to that animal. It can be trained. We just have to know the technique. And what is the technique? Technique is very simple. Tell the mind, I am the boss, you are not the boss. Because unfortunately, the mind, who has been accompanying the soul for many hundreds of lives or thousands of lives, which I cannot exactly tell how many lives, previous lives we have gone through, but I'm sure many, many must be in hundreds of thousands of lives. And in all these different life forms, the soul becomes weaker and weaker and weaker in its power, because it's associating with material energy. And the mind becomes the master and controls.
And the soul then has to become submissive to the mind. Therefore, the mind will use the intelligence and do all sorts of nonsense, and the soul will submissively just follow the path. Go right, go left, go up, go down, do this, do that. It will quite do all these things. But in the process of doing all these things, being submissive to the mind, what happens? You get more and more and more entangled and more lost in this wilderness of existence. But at some stage, the Supreme Lord, who is so compassionate, He will tap on you. So wake up, open your eyes. You are the master, not the mind. Then you come searching for the spiritual master to guide you, to train you. And then under the guidance of the spiritual master, you are trained to see things correctly. And then you learn the technique of controlling the mind. And then the mind is controlled, then you are a happy devotee. So the technique is very simple: to control the mind. And controlled mind means the process of bhakti is very simple. As Prabhupada mentions here, all we need to do is chant the two mantras given, the Panchatattva mantra and the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. That's all we need. We don't need anything else. So simply having faith in the words of the acharyas and the scriptures, we can become perfect. And as Prabhupada mentions here, that by following this simple process, we can go back home, back to Godhead, without difficulty. So, I will end here. It's almost 9 o'clock. So, before I end the class, anybody wants to have any comments or any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. Speaking of the mind, it's a very powerful deterrent for us to spiritual life. You also mentioned the intelligence. So intelligence is higher than the mind. And unfortunately, the mind takes control of the intelligence and causes us to do these. So your training process is that with our mind, we control it with our intelligence. Just as it says here, to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we know that that is the way, and we follow the intelligence. If we follow the intelligence rather than the mind, then we're more on the safer path.
Well, no, see, the intelligence on its own cannot go anywhere. It needs a guide. It needs someone to direct it. So intelligence is an instrument which can do many things, but under guidance. So there's two things can guide the intelligence. One is the soul, which is rightly situated, or is the mind. And because, as I said, the soul being so much in association with material energy for many, many lifetimes, becomes very weak. And therefore the mind becomes more stronger and stronger. And when the mind has been given that free liberty, it then directs the intelligence to do all the things. Therefore, it is not the intelligence more, it is the soul, it is the person himself, has to become back in control. And then take control of the intelligence, and then guide the intelligence, and the mind then has to follow. As Prabhupada says, you know, in that example we're saying, that the mind has to be kept fully focused and engaged. And if the intelligence is used to keep the mind fully engaged, specifically in principles of devotion, then the mind cannot do anything except it's no time. You have no time to do anything else. And that example Prabhupada gives, that the genie which is escaped from the confinement, and he comes out and says, "What can I do? I want to do. Come on, what next?" You give him any task, he does the task and says, "Oh, next. So say, then Prabhupada gives that example. He takes a big banyan tree and says, "Go and clean every single leaf of that banyan tree." And banyan tree has millions of leaves, so he's cleaning leaves. And by the time he finished cleaning all the leaves, new leaves have sprout out. Then he has to go back to the old leaves, which is already clean, is dirty. So there is never going to be a point where every leaf is going to be totally sparkling clean. Because you clean here and the dust will come and settle here. So you have to go back. So the mind is, or the genie is kind of engaged completely. So similarly, the mind has to be engaged. And that's why Srila Prabhupada said that the discipline of bhakti is always engaged in the practice of devotion. And of course, we have a discipline of waking up early, then we chant the holy name, at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. Then we have the discipline of reading the scriptures. Then we have the discipline of engaging in practical service for the pleasure of the Lord. The pujaris do the pujari service, the sankirtan devotees go for sankirtan, book distribution, harinam, prasaram distribution, cleaning the temple. There are unlimited services. So if you look for service, there is service. If you don't look for service, you don't look. So one time I was in Mayapur and in the class I said, one must engage fully in service. And then one devotee raised his hand saying, but we don't have enough service here. I said, how is it possible? You just go in the grounds of Mayapur and there is litter lying everywhere. Oh, but that's not my service. No, that is my service. Because the temple and temple grounds are part and parcel of Krishna. And therefore, if I clean the grounds of the temple, it is devotional service. I don't need to be told, go and clean. I just have to use my intelligence and be engaged. Oh, this is a dirty place. This is a very unclean place for Krishna. Let me pick it up. Let me clean it up. So basically, the point is that if you look for service, there's unlimited service. But if you don't want service, then you can find 1,000 reasons of saying, I have no service. So that basically engages the mind. Well, not just surrender. Surrender is an aspect of bhakti. Krishna says, you surrender to me first. Then it's ahamtam sarva papi. I will free you from all misconception. But in the 10th chapter, Krishna says, tesam satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. This is the terms and condition. Bhajatam priti purvakam. You worship the Lord with love and devotion. And then Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Yogam. Then I give you the intelligence by which you can know me. You can come to me. So Krishna will give you the intelligence to come to him. See, right now in the material world, we have material intelligence. But the need of the hour is spiritual intelligence. And that comes from Krishna. Because Krishna says, I am the ability in you. He gives us the ability. So he gives everything to us. Only the point is, we have to approach him. And approach him with humility and beg as helplessness, that I am helpless in this world. Please, Lord, you are my only shelter. Please help me. Then, of course, the Lord will come to your aid and he'll help you. Okay, thank you very much. One last question.
Hare Krishna. You said that with time things are changing, right? Like Prabhupada gives a lot of instructions, scriptures, but people are still following them. Follow. But with time, place, circumstances, things change, the technology which is coming up, the intention is still there, that I want to please Prabhupada, I want to please
Lord Vishnu,
but the execution might have changed. So, what
do
you
want
to comment on that?
No, you see, the eternal question or eternal instructions are given are eternal. How you implement them, you have to use your intelligence. You see, but not necessarily that you have to strive for material technology to better yourself. For example, nowadays you see mobile phones are commonplace. Everybody has smartphones. And if you take away smartphones away from everyone today, and say for next 1 week, no smartphones. All signals, everything is switched off. You will go completely crazy and depressed. You say, oh, I cannot function. But what was happening before the mobile phone came in existence? I know in my own life, in this my span of life, you know, some 40 years ago, there was no mobile phones. And there was still communication, there was still everything working. People were happy, world was happily going around, merrily doing their things. Devotees were doing devotional things, karmis were doing karmic things. But now, I must have my mobile. I must have internet. Why? You don't need these things. The point is, keep everything simple, as Srila Prabhupada says. Simple living, high thinking. If you make your livelihood simple, then you have time for high thinking. Otherwise, your life will be high living and simple thinking. And if you think simple, then you will remain completely ignorant. Think high and live simple. We don't need all these things. All we need is Japamala in our hand and the desire and intent to chant the holy name 24 hours a day. If that's all we need. Okay. No doubt, changes will come. And Srila Prabhupada says, very simple, utility is the principle. So whatever technology, whatever material facilities are available, we use that to propagate Krishna consciousness. That is fine. But I cannot sit here and say, oh, if I don't get a smartphone, then I cannot do my service. No. If it comes to you easily, then maybe that is what Krishna is giving you, this facility. But we should not make a separate endeavor to get something so that I can execute my service better. No. Service can be executed without. But if something comes, then utilize it to better propagate Krishna consciousness. Because our ultimate aim is very simple. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Yare dekho tare kaho Krishna upades. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, just simply teach them Krishna. Speak to them about Krishna. Now if some facility comes to me, without great endeavor, then I would think, okay, Krishna wants me to use this facility to propagate the mission of Krishna consciousness. But I would not sit down and say, well, I don't have this facility, therefore, I will first make endeavor to get all these facilities, then go and do preaching. Then that will be, oh, my preaching will be much better. No. You see, Srila Prabhupada, he did not wait for, but then things came, he said, yes, Krishna has given you intelligence, use it for Krishna's service. But the point is, are we going to use whatever is at our disposal for exclusively propagating Krishna consciousness, or balance it, sense enjoyment with preaching? That we have to be, because if you do that, then it's like one foot in the water and one foot in the boat. You're not going to make any sense of that. So of course, we have to make endeavor and just simply pray to Krishna. Ultimately, if you make prayer, as Lord Brahma here is praying to the Lord, and Srila Prabhupada says very clearly that if you make your sincere prayer, the Lord is hearing your prayer, even though you may not see Him hearing your prayer, but He is hearing them, and the necessary actions will be taken by the Lord. That is Lord's prerogative. How and where and why He does it, that is His business. For us, we just have to request. That's all. So thank you very much for your attention this morning. I beg you all to forgive me if I have said something wrong. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.